The Farm in the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McRae. Rural and agricultural America is definitely feeling the effects of COVID-19, but should it cause us to change the way we live? You'll find views ranging from shelter in place to complete hoax. Cow-calf producer, rural medical doctor, and lifelong resident of Lockwood, Missouri, Dr. Angie Weitzel shares her experiences during these unprecedented times and her advice for farmers. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Pivot BioProven. It's time to rethink nitrogen. Pivot BioProven replaces nitrogen fertilizer with microbes that adhere to the crop's root system and apply nitrogen each day. 2019 performance report data shows Pivot BioProven consistently outperforms synthetic nitrogen fertilizer year over year, providing corn growers improved yields and a more dependable nitrogen supply that isn't lost to the environment. To read the performance report, go to pivotbio.com. For more information on Pivot BioProven, text PROVEN to 31313. There are a lot of views out there on exactly how we should be living our lives right now. I think that's especially true for folks in agriculture. This is the heart of planting season, and there's plenty of work to be done. And granted, a lot of that work is outdoors and not in large groups of people, which is good advice during these days of COVID-19. But each of us is connected to a larger community, and we do need to go to larger towns to get supplies, groceries, lots of different items. And you'll encounter some people who say we should be socially distancing, avoiding close contact with others, and living life far differently than ever before. And on the other side, people saying, get on with life and face the virus. There are plenty of experts out there, and you may want to put that word experts in quotes because some of us espousing our views probably don't have much in the way of credentials. But on this show, I found a person that I think has some credentials and certainly understands farming. Dr. Angie Weitzel is a cow-calf producer who lives in a small Missouri town of Lockwood, and she also practices family medicine, having done so now for many years. She knows a lot about this virus, and she knows a lot about farming. And I called on her to help those of us in agriculture and small-town America make sense of what we should and shouldn't be doing right now, and any other tips she has on leading physically and mentally healthy lives. Dr. Angie Weitzel joins me. First of all, Angie, thanks for taking the time to visit. And secondly, why don't you just begin by telling folks a little bit about what you do and where you live?
Sure. Thanks, Andrew. I grew up here in Dade County, Missouri, which is in rural southwest Missouri, on a cow-calf cattle farm ranch, and was involved in all aspects of that farm, and went to Mizzou and didn't initially know I wanted to do medicine, but had some really great advisors that encouraged me to consider because of the demand for doctors willing to come back to small places like I'm from. And so changed to pre-med and went to medical school there at MU in Columbia. And then ultimately ended back up here in my hometown, which is Lockwood, with my husband and kids. We built our home on the family farm. And I definitely know I have a hobby farm. The cattle are my therapy, but I live still on the larger cow-calf operation that my dad and brother do full-time.
You know, Angie, you certainly had a lot of options as far as where you wanted to practice, but you came back home. I'm just curious how hard it is right now to get young medical students to come out to rural areas to be a doctor.
Well, I think they're really twofold. I think one, I mean, speaking from personal experience, I think unfortunately if you don't grow up around medicine, and it was like this for me, I didn't really understand that medicine was an opportunity available to me, which is crazy now. But at the time, you know, I grew up around veterinarians and I grew up, you know, around cattlemen and in a little bitty town, and I didn't know any doctors. And fortunately, I had been well, so I hadn't been in had to go to the doctor very often, so I didn't even think about it as a possibility. So I think one obstacle is identifying students who are interested in science and communication and are bright and willing to pursue healthcare, and identifying them and then really encouraging them to think about medicine, adding it to their list of possibilities of careers. The second is once you get involved in training, understanding that, you know, for somebody to choose going back to a little town or a rural area that has never lived or worked there, that can be a real challenge. So there are programs at MU, a rural track program, for example, where they try to hook students up with hospitals and community preceptors so they understand the joys of practicing in small town, rural America. But that can be really off-putting to some because they just don't know what it's like. And it can be you can feel isolated, or the worry is you may be isolated, but now, you know, we live in such a digital age where we have access to specialists and larger hospital systems no matter where we're practicing. But I think that, yeah, identifying students that want to do it, and then definitely helping encourage medical professionals along their training that there are, you know, huge benefits of choosing to be a part of a community like in a small rural area.
Has it been what you thought it would be, or do you find it hard to practice medicine at times with people you've known all your life?
I love my job, Andrew. I think it is such just a huge blessing to get to do what I do. And I think that knowing people my whole life, you can tell when I frequently have medical students with me or shadows with me, and they know that somebody I've known my whole life because they call me by my first name. They'll call me Angie or Dr. Angie, and I think that it's really rewarding to get to help people who you've known your whole life. And if someone feels uncomfortable with it, then they probably, you know, don't come to me. But that doesn't happen very, very often. I think the time you spend away training kind of allows you to take a step away before you come back to your hometown. And I'm just extremely fortunate to get to do what I do, to serve the people from where I grew up. It's a huge motivator for me, and I love it.
I do really appreciate what you're doing in your area. You know, small towns are really fortunate when they have one of their own come home to practice medicine. I know you care a lot about your community. I do want to jump into the unique situation, of course, we find ourselves in as a country right now. We've all seen the images from places like New York City that are battling with large numbers of cases of COVID-19, but of course, here in our rural and agricultural areas, we've not seen as many cases, and certainly some of that is probably because we just don't have as many people to live in these areas. But I'm interested in what you've seen there where you live as it relates to the virus.
So my county has not had any confirmed cases, and I think that some of that, but the counties around us have. So I don't tend to hope that we are somehow super fortunate or blessed that it isn't here. I think that it probably is here in small amounts. We had very limited ability to test initially. That ability to test is getting better, but I think it probably is not affecting my community as far as seeing sick people. But it is affecting, I mean, everything really has changed in my clinic. We are doing now many more virtual and telephone visits, trying to keep our elderly and vulnerable patients at home. When you walk in the clinic, your temperature is immediately checked, and you are asked a series of questions, and then you're brought right back to the exam room, so there's no time in waiting room, and everybody is wearing masks in the whole building. So it definitely looks different, even though we haven't seen any confirmed cases. But we, you know, for the last several months, we've been preparing. And but I think I've been working on this kind of analogy for a while. I think, Andrew, it was when this all started and we all started hearing what was going on in China, and then when it got to the U.S., it was almost like we were prepping for this tornado to come and affect our community. Maybe I use the tornado analogy because I live in Tornado Alley here, but now that it's been 2 months, really, it's like the tornado we're seeing in the distance, and we know that it's devastating and that it's doing horrible things in big cities, on the coast especially, but we don't really know, like, are we supposed to keep hanging out in our basement, or are we okay to go out and play in the yard? It's really unusual what we're going through right now. And I was talking to a farmer last week about how, I mean, I'm asking all my patients how the pandemic is affecting them and their lives. And a lot of the farmers I talk to don't really feel like it's affecting their life that much, other than they're having to also homeschool their kids or their grandkids and eat all their meals at home. But this farmer I was talking to felt like we are used to that in ag. We're used to things we can't control, like the weather or prices. So I think farmers as a whole are very resilient. But at the same time, this is different than any natural disaster or other issue that we are faced with, because we just see it. It's out there, but we don't know when and if it's going to come. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So let's use that tornado example then for a moment here. We maybe see the tornado out on the horizon, but how real is it that it could hit our home here? I mean, you know that if you want to get pummeled right now on the internet, take one side or the other on Facebook, and you've got plenty of people that will tell you stay home and stay distanced, and you've got others that are going to say it's a hoax and get back to work. So what advice do you give to those of us living out here in agricultural America as far as how we should view that tornado that you mentioned that we see over there on the horizon?
Well, I think you need to be smart, right? And I think that the thing about this novel coronavirus, which just a blurb about, so we've had coronavirus as a cold virus for ever. That's an exaggeration, but we've had it a long time. But this new form of coronavirus or COVID, which is what causes COVID-19 because it came in 2019, is different than anything any of our immune systems have ever seen before. We have no immunity to it. So it's not like influenza, for example, that every year it changes just a little bit. And so we encourage folks to get a yearly booster flu shot. But really, the virus changes a little bit. So our immune systems still kind of know what to expect. With COVID-19 or the new coronavirus, we don't have any history or past immunity to this. It is so different than what our immune systems have experienced. And so that's why it's so dangerous and I think scary to health, well, to, it should be especially to healthcare workers. But I think that we have to be smart in that we have to follow the CDC guidelines as far as limiting our interactions, limiting our travel. I was disappointed. I did have to make a trip out of the county last weekend with my daughter and to Springfield. And, you know, I would say only 20% of people had on masks, which was disappointing to me as a healthcare worker, because I think that we need to be scared a little bit of it all the time until we get a good vaccine where we can protect ourselves. It's just, we have to be so vigilant. I mean, Andrew, I could give you examples. I mean, like never in my career, so I've been a family doctor now for 15 years, right? And so never in my career did I think on the way home to my family, did I think about hand sanitizing my cell phone and my steering wheel, and when I walked in the house, using a Clorox wipe to wipe off my shoes and wipe off my cell phone again and put my clothes in the wash machine. And some days, if I've been around anyone that I'm concerned about, just go right to the shower before I hug on my kiddos. I mean, none of that has ever crossed my mind before. And I've taken care of sick people my whole career. We have to be super diligent about caring for ourselves because we're around people that, you know, even if we are perfectly healthy, we are around folks who have medical problems or over the age of 65, and they have real risk of getting sick with this virus.
I want to talk about another analogy that you and all of us in agriculture can relate to, and that's herd immunity. You know, you see that term bannered about these days. Is there something to that? Should we get about living our lives so that the population builds herd immunity? Or is this different from the types of viruses where that might work?
If there wasn't that big death rate we had to worry about, Andrew, and I say that, and it's not funny, my brother and I had that conversation very much at the beginning of this about how why don't we just send folks to China to get exposed so then they're immune? But there's depending on the data, and this changes from day to day because we're learning more and more about the virus, but depending on what data you look at, I mean, up to 7% mortality, that's what they saw in Italy. Here in the U.S., it seems to be less than that. But, I mean, that's if you exposed 100 people, even 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I mean, that's a huge amount of people dying for taking that risk of getting the herd immunity. So that seems like more than, I mean, that's still pretty high percentage to take that risk. But I get it. And most people, you know, great majority of people will come out just fine. But not if you're that unlucky percent that doesn't, of course.
So at this point, how are you advising patients? You know, let's say they're relatively healthy, maybe someone who's a farmer like myself, outdoors a lot of this time of year. Are there ways I should be living my life differently right now than previous years?
Well, again, going back to the guidelines by the CDC, and some of these are really simple. It's just washing your hands multiple times a day, trying to avoid touching your face, trying to avoid crowds of greater than 10 people, socially distancing when you are around people, at least 6 foot. Thinking about, well, how can I protect my loved ones that are more vulnerable than me? You know, if you have a neighbor or a family member, help them, ask them if you can run errands for them or get their groceries for them. I mean, those simple steps could potentially help keep you and your loved ones safe.
We've certainly got plenty of things to think about with COVID-19, but I do want to talk about another issue when it comes to health, especially as it relates to farmers. You've been practicing medicine for quite a while now, and you see many farmers as patients. In general, what types of advice would you give us?
Well, as a whole, folks in rural America smoke more than they should, and they weigh more than they should, and they're not as active as they should be. And it seems crazy when I tell a farmer or a cattleman that you need to move more because they feel like they're moving all the time. But when you think about really aerobic activity or times where you're getting your heart rate up to the point where you have to, you can't talk comfortably while you're doing it, we don't do that a lot. We don't do that enough. People don't move enough. I think that inactivity leads to obesity, and then that leads to all sorts of medical problems, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure. And then, of course, smoking raises risk of every type of cancer. So those are things that generalizations about folks from rural areas that we do too much smoking and we don't do enough physical activity. You know, trying to cut down or stop smoking if you're a smoker and just trying to move more, especially aerobic type exercise, and eat a wide variety of things, but focusing on plant-based foods. You know, I, as a beef cattle producer, I love steak just as much as everybody, but if I only ate steak every day, that's not good for my health. I need to keep continue to eat a wide variety of mainly fruits and vegetables with my side of beef instead of the other way around.
I knew you would work beef in there somewhere. But, you know, Angie, this is a time when our health issues go beyond the physical. We're dealing with low commodity prices, job losses, interruptions to our normal way of life. And I can tell, even with what I do, while I believe I'm a pretty positive person, there's a bit of a cloud that, you know, hangs around us right now. There's more uncertainty, stress, life has changed. What are you seeing in your medical practice when it comes to our mental health?
Well, anxiety is so much higher. I mean, I feel like I've started more people or increased more doses of medications for anxiety in the last 3 months than I have before. And it's just, like I said, just that waiting on what's going to happen here. And everyone's anxiety is up, whether the, you know, we're not seeing the virus directly hurting people, but we are seeing how the effects of the virus are hurting prices and causing stress. And then, like I said, you throw in the stress of having kids at home and and life as we know it is, you know, not being able to worship together on Sundays. I mean, we're seeing all of these stresses add up. And so I've seen some people who've never struggled with anxiety or panic before who are developing that, or people who've had a history of it, it get worse. And I would just encourage that if your listeners are feeling that way, to know that they're not alone, and that anxiety and depression are treatable, and that they would please reach out for help to their family doctor or counselor, because this will not be forever. You know, we will get through this. I was sounding kind of negative earlier because I do think it's important to take this so seriously, but we also have to remember that this will not last forever, and focusing on long term and things that you enjoy or want to do in the future, and not dwelling on the impacts of the virus, and reaching out if you're feeling overwhelmed, is so important right now.
Do you have something you personally try to do to help lift your mental health? Because you deal with the burdens of patients every day, and maybe what works for you is good mental health advice for all of us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, taking walks. My kids have walked more to the creek on our farm than we probably ever have, and enjoying the fact that in rural America, we are blessed with, we're not stuck in an apartment complex with no green to go enjoy. I mean, personally, so I enjoy walking. And, you know, my kids, although we don't know what the summer is going to bring, of course, but we're, you know, halter breaking 5 heifers for them to show this summer. And so when I get home from work and get all decontaminated, throw on my coveralls and go to the barn with the kids, and I really enjoy that. The cattle are my therapy. Which isn't totally fair, Andrew, because I know that people that raise cattle full time, they can cause a lot of stress. But I know that my dad and brother, the cattle are definitely their therapy as well. And that I had to tell my mom that she couldn't leave the house when all this started. I didn't want her to leave the house, and I had to tell my dad that he could only leave the house to be with the cattle. So he was happy that he had that outlet. That was at the beginning when we really didn't know when and if it was going to hit here. And I'm still encouraging them to be cautious, but they are doing more than they did at the beginning.
If we see folks around us that we believe are struggling, what's good advice that we can share, or how can we be of the most help, do you think?
Well, I think that, yeah, encouraging them to know that they're not alone and that help is available, and that they don't have to suffer and struggle. And if you have a local family doctor or a community health center or counseling center, encouraging them to reach out and speak with a professional. But, I mean, just encourage. I think it's just so important for folks to hear that. I hear you. I know you're under a lot of stress, and you're not alone. This is an extremely stressful situation that we're all through. It's not going to last forever, but it sure seems like it. And and knowing that you don't have to be a professional when your friends or loved ones are struggling, but you can help direct them to their family doctor or health center or counseling center. Just sharing with them also how you're feeling, and knowing that there's just a tremendous amount of anxiety nationwide, and including us here in the heartland.
As we wind up here, you normally talk to one patient at a time, but now you get a chance to speak to several of us at once. So any other advice you give us from the perspective of someone who is a farmer but also has been practicing medicine in a small town for many years now?
Like I said, be smart and know that as farmers that you are resilient and you've been through ups and downs and you're used to the unknown, like I talked about. But be very diligent about keeping yourself safe and informed. And if you're uneasy about something, just follow your gut and say, I don't think that really seems right. And be optimistic that we are going to get through this. We're going to get a vaccine. Don't know when that is, which will allow us to all get some good herd immunity. And take care of each other. You know, even though you may not be able to be, your social circles may be much smaller, take care of those that you are in contact with, and make sure you're checking in with those to make sure that those you love are safe and know that you're thinking about them.
I know life is quite a bit different for us right now, but I do hope you'll take Dr. Angie's advice. Stay vigilant, be careful, and don't neglect your overall physical and mental health, putting good habits into practice, whether or not we're dealing with a virus right now or not. I hope all is well for you, and thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.